Flower, and we have a continuing great show dealing with, of all subjects, the life of a soul or souls. And also, in the same context, we're going to be talking about what is a soul and how does one soul differ from another kind of soul. So we're hopefully going to have a really good understanding, I think, by the end of the show, of what souls are all about, and not just maybe a superficial one, but I hope a much deeper understanding. Now, today's show is, of course, about metaphysics and spirituality, and in case you don't know, this is Niles McFlower, and this show is Why Life Is, of course, and you can call in, if you would like, to 877-876-5227 if you're in the U.S., 888-815-9756 if you're in Canada, and I'd love to hear from you. And let me continue on with last week's concepts, just give you a basic rundown of some of the things that I thought were the, we'll say, peak points of last week's show about this subject, because I think this is, for me, I got really interested in it myself as I'm talking about it, because it's been a while since I've really taught this kind of information in this way. And souls are so interesting, because most people don't really have a good way of understanding them while they're physically alive. They exist in another dimension of time and space. Sounds like the Twilight Zone. I could be Rod Serling. And they, in that dimension of time and space, they are really true beings. It is, you know, they're not some abstraction. And I hope I can bring this to you, this concept and the sense that these are real living beings who have their own life in their hands and have a great mission in terms of creating life in the lower dimensions where we live, and having to do so in accord with a plan. And that plan is not just some chaotic evolutionary type of thing. Evolution is part of the plan, but it isn't the plan, because then it would just be chaos. Whereas in the real soul world, there's a active plan about how a planet is to be developed in terms of life. And the souls are about how life is created. Okay, so last week I spoke about the beginnings of life, even pre-life, where we have souls that really control just minerals. And how do they do that? Well, they do that by dividing up, you could say, the chemistry of how a planet functions. And each soul is devoted to a certain series of elements and how they interact together and form various, we'll call it minerals, and how those minerals interact. And even in the inside of the Earth itself, there is a plan to have some minerals come to the surface at certain times, which develops the ability for later on plants and animals to develop. And as you change the mineral content at the surface of the earth, you're changing the kind of life that can grow there. That's kind of fascinating. And then in addition to that, as we create volcanic activities that are taking place sometimes below the ocean, sometimes on land, these have a tremendous impact on life. And as I've expressed a number of times, the very first life that developed on Earth probably developed around volcanoes that are below the surface of the oceans, very deep, and have very hot temperatures and superheat the water with mineral-rich conditions that produces life that does not require any sunlight or other forms of energy to develop itself. This is amazing. And then, of course, that life, which is mostly bacterial life, is then eaten by even higher levels of developed life. And those creatures then become a whole food chain. So it's an amazing thing. And that's a food chain without any photosynthesis and not dependent upon the surface temperatures or the atmospheric conditions on the surface, which at the beginning of our planet and for a billion years or longer was maybe toxic to life. So life could really only grow in these very odd, we'll call them, depths of the ocean where there are volcanoes. Now, this has only become known, really, for about 20 to 30 years. And before that, it was really like a big, we'll say, hole in the scientific theories. And amazingly, the evolutionists before that time, the people who were strict evolutionists, they're not the ones who use evolution as a model for helping to develop a life, but believe that that's all there is, they were filling in the hole and making it seem to work without this information. That's one of the things we have to look at science and understand, that science keeps reinventing itself. As it discovers new information, it takes theories that are maybe not right in their entirety and reinvents them to fit the new models. But this in itself is kind of an antagonism to the concept of science itself, which is the seeking of truth, because how can you seek truth when every other year you're reinventing your theories, and the theories that are the foundation of your principles you refuse to change? This is the problem. You have to start looking at the foundations also, not just the surface issues, if you're going to go ahead and start monkeying around with changing things. This is a problem that humans have in their, we'll call it, conceptual framework of thinking. And it's because we don't like to give up in those areas that are comfortable for us and that we think we understand. And when something comes in that contradicts them, we prefer to invent rather than to challenge our invent reasons for rationalizations, we'll call it, rather than challenge our basic principles and ideas. We need to do both, and we need to do both without there being a prejudice towards any side of things. Okay, so getting back to the principles then of life itself and how this affects souls. Souls are involved with the very basis of what makes a planet a living planet. All planets, in one way or another, support life, but some planets, as a matter of fact, the majority, do not support life in the physical world. We live in the physical world, the etheric physical world, which is an electromagnetic and a dense physical part of the universe, but it's actually the basement in the smallest dimension of time and space. Most planets actually exist having life on them, but not in this dimension. So to our perception, as we examine, we're up to almost 300 planets now, as we examine planets in other solar systems, we don't find very much physical life. We're not going to. There may only be a couple thousand planets with dense physical life within our entire galaxy, because it's a rarity. Life in the dense physical has a very narrow spectrum that it can exist within, and it's difficult to make it work any place other than that. Whereas as you increase the dimensionality, the life is capable of living in many, many, many different kinds of environments that we can't perceive while we're physically alive with the normal ways that we measure and look at things, because those other dimensions are hidden from us, and they give the ability for life to exist, but we can't see that life, and we can't see the other dimensions. So, to us, our perspective is, again, thwarted by our inability to fully sense, while we're physically alive, these other dimensions of time and space. All right, so let's go on. And so we have these mineral group souls, and they spend their time learning the plan. They also learn something about evolution, but they're learning the plan as it applies to the specific chemistry that they are working with. And then when you get to plants, we could say the same about various kinds of plants and how those plants are becoming developed by a plan to create physical world plants, usually beginning in the seas. And this is usually applied to one-cell organisms. It starts with algae and moves up from there. And then in terms of animals, we have the same process, except they become much more complex. And plants actually become more complex as their cells develop into organisms. So it's an interesting process. And in between kingdoms, there are viruses and there are bacteria. Bacteria are really the foundation of life because they kind of start off the whole thing even before there is anything other than any other kind of life. There's bacteria first, as I said at the beginning of the show. And most people don't know that bacteria is the foundation. You might say, well, why is bacteria a foundation? It's because it's a simplistic life form that does not on its own lead itself to develop complexity. So it has to create life forms that eventually are developed beyond itself that become more complex life forms. Now, this is the reason some people who are against evolution say, well, where is the place where that takes place? And you won't find it. It's not going to be found. The missing link will not be findable. Bacteria just don't have it in themselves to lead to the necessary complexity levels. They can colonize. They can kind of hang out together. And they can hang out with other bacteria. They can become infected even by viruses, which is kind of interesting. But they ultimately, you find that they are missing an important ingredient in this ability to organize themselves into becoming more perceptive creatures and becoming fully developed plants or fully developed animals. They just don't have that ability. And the purpose of me saying that is that, therefore, there's a step that is obviously missing. And that step is non-evolutionary in a strict sense. It's the idea that you have to completely modify the entire genome of bacteria itself to come up with something new, to the point where you couldn't get there piece by piece in an evolutionary way. Now, what I'm telling you is my opinion. There's no proof of it, but the lack of there being discovered any way to do it is very important to understand, because that's why we have this quagmire, and many evolutionary scientists are becoming a little more open-minded because they're seeing that there's a piece missing or pieces missing. Okay, so the souls are involved in this. The souls actually are participating in this plan, and they provide changes in the cellular structure eventually for those souls that deal with cells. And a cell itself is extremely complex. It's much more than what most people think. And eventually what you end up with is the complexity of the cell is modified to become the complexity of organization. But the difference here is that the complexity of the cell has to be fully active or has to be more developed than you find in a virus or a bacteria. And most people are surprised to find that out. So we have a most interesting issue here, that even in a one-celled organism that we might call like a flagellate or the things that are capable of moving around that normally would not be considered viruses or bacteria, these things that we think of as one-celled creatures are really, amazingly so, relatively complex right to begin with. And then when you bring this complexity into a new realm of multi-cell development and specialization, you have to have a plan in order to move it at the speed and in the complexity that is necessary to create life within the time spectrum that it takes place in most physical world planets. Especially if we're looking at Earth, this is true. It would have taken more time than we have had Earth in existence to have developed the kind of complexity in life that developed in just a few millions of years of time. So that's a big, big difference. A few million years compared to thousands of millions of years of time difference. And that difference is supplied by the thought and by the creative efforts of the souls that are involved in creating life. Isn't that fascinating? I love that. That's a great idea. And it works because the thinking apparatus of any life in the physical world, if you go back billions of years ago, is non-existent. There's nothing in that cell. There's nothing in the life form itself that could come up with these plans. There has to be something somewhere else that is doing it, you see. Very fascinating stuff. I love it. Okay. So we have the what are the souls actually doing? Let's try to be a soul here and see what they're actually up to. They actually are involved not on an individual level, but by working with other souls and sharing information and also beings that help souls. Because there are all kinds of advanced beings in the universe beyond even the level of a soul. And they're exchanging information and developing an understanding of the general plan for the life forms that they're working with and how those life forms are going to interrelate, as well as how they're going to interrelate with all kinds of other life forms. It's fascinating. So souls are like advanced thinkers, and they think we're in the higher mental world where concepts are the key element of thought. So they understand the concepts of why. Another word for concept is why things are happening. Very much like the name of the show, Why Life Is. The concept between what life is about. And so they're very much involved with understanding how come we're doing this. And then they're given a certain degree of latitude to create. Because like everything else, in the universe, ultimately life is to become a co-creator with its creator. Some parts of life can't do that until they reach approximately the higher mental world in their ability to think, and then they can recognize their own creator. Below the higher mental world, and especially below the spiritual part of the higher mental world, life is incapable of identifying its own creator. It loses touch with it. Now, you might say, well, don't some humans have problems getting beyond the spiritual part of the higher mental world? And the answer is yes. If you've read some of my books and stuff on this, you may know that, as an example, and I don't want to insult anybody, but people who, say, smoke cigarettes and use tobacco products have problems at times reaching beyond and into the spiritual part of the higher mental world. And because of that, they may have more difficulty recognizing their creator than people who don't. Drugs affect us. And those drugs, in this case, nicotine, but then much more than that. There's a lot of other chemicals, unfortunately, in tobacco, that cause, including just the smoke itself, causes some element of cyanosis, which is a reduction of oxygen to the brain. But it causes the ability to think in the little bit larger concepts necessary just to reach the more spiritual parts of concepts, people to miss those spiritual parts of concepts. And therefore they miss their creator, and it becomes more difficult for them to be co-creative, which means that they're not quite as virtuous. So that's a bad thing. Something to worry about. If you are a smoker or if you use tobacco products, good reason to quit. A real good reason to quit. You'll become, within a relatively short time, more capable of being co-creative with your creator. You'll have a greater sense of God. You might say, oh, I don't know about it. Well, try it. Try it for a month and then see. I mean, that's really difficult if you're addicted to that substance to quit it. But if you can, you'll notice a difference. And so souls have the same issue. Some souls are lower in the spiritual part of the higher mental world than others. And the lower the soul is, the more difficult it is for that particular soul to co-create. It can do so, but as long as it's in some part of the spiritual higher mental world, but it does so with greater and greater difficulty. So the lowest souls are the mineral types, and they have the hardest time co-creating in comparison to, say, an animal group soul. Now, when we say group, that means that the soul is giving information to many, many, maybe millions of life forms of a particular kind. And so that's what that soul is doing. Or if it's a mineral group soul, many, many types of different rocks or whatever that has a certain series of elements in it. And so this is critical to understand that these souls are really focused on very specific parts of their plan. And that's good for them because then they can become more expert at it. But the thing that troubles them and us, I guess, is that they can't always understand the bigger picture, especially within the lower parts of the spiritual higher mental world. Now, the lowest part of the higher mental world does not involve itself with spiritual concepts. These are called, for those of you who are interested, the lowest three sub-planes. But the more important thing is this is a relatively small part, but it's unfortunately big enough for a lot of the concepts that human beings create problems for themselves with. A lot of prejudices and other issues come from those narrow regions of concepts, very narrow concepts that some humans think mostly with. So we want to get out of those ourselves, and the souls themselves, luckily, cannot function in those places. They still have to be above those in terms of their concepts, or they will become completely dysfunctional. So the good news is that all souls are more spiritual right from the get-go than some humans are. That shouldn't be surprising if we look at how humans are presently functioning in this world. Some souls, though, are still stuck in the relatively lower realms, and they cannot necessarily understand the big picture. They, therefore, are connected to the smaller parts of a big plan. And they work within the smaller parts. They create virtue. They create more of a creator that allows life to, therefore, grow. And the growth of life is the whole purpose, or not the whole purpose, but certainly a significant purpose, of why God created the universe. Life is God's growth. It's the way that God chose to grow itself. Instead of just create everything on its own, it says, hey, you know, that would be boring. I'll make life and let life do some of the creating, and that's a good thing. And that's what's going on. And so the big part of life that's doing this are these souls, because they have, in the lower three dimensions of time and space, they have the responsibility for the development of life. It falls upon them. Now, what about the souls that are more developed, like the plants and eventually animal souls? They're group souls again. They have a better understanding of the bigger picture because they're found at higher levels in the spiritual parts of the higher mental world, and they have a better connection. Spiritual means God's thought, so they have a better connection with the thoughts of God. And therefore, they discover more of that, and they are able to co-create in a better way. So it takes much less time for them to create life that is sustainable and that leads to the development of even more life that eventually seeks to find its own creator, which is us. Very important. You might say, well, isn't all this pointing then towards humans? And yes, it is pointing right towards humans. The group souls are all developing themselves to move up the ladder of being able to understand these bigger concepts. As a group soul moves up that ladder, it is functioning at a higher and higher concept level in the higher monastic world and is capable, therefore, of sustaining greater levels of life that can grow into even more sustainable life that is capable eventually of recognizing its own creator. But at first, it's better at, we'll say, demonstrating elements of the creator. So the souls are really the creators, if they're group souls, and the life forms are demonstrators of what the souls are creating. And we look at the demonstration of this throughout our world, and we, as being way above and beyond these group souls in our development, can see what they're doing. They're creating great beauty. They're building a viable ecological system that includes a way of maintaining homeostasis within the environment, allows the environment some latitude for changes, but only within the scale of keeping life alive and producing more and more diversity while also improving life and challenging it and forcing it, we'll say, to grow in new ways. This is a great system. It's a grand plan. It's a tremendous plan. And sometimes, because of speed, it's pushed to the limits on our planet anyway. In most worlds, this is not true. But on Earth, because Earth is trying so hard to develop life at a faster pace, there have been extreme measures taken that have frozen out and heated out and everything, life forms, to the edge to create a quicker development of what we'll say more conscious entities, more conscious life forms, more conscious expressions of God within the planet. And otherwise, it would have taken tens, probably hundreds of millions of years longer to get where we are today. And so if you want to go short, you want to go fast, you're going to need to put in extremes, and that's what this planet has done. Most planets don't do that because the danger is you're on such a fine edge, you go a little bit too far, and it's possible the system could collapse. We pushed it, but we didn't collapse because we're here. We could have gone the wrong way. But in most circumstances, this planet is well-developed, and there are some safeguards within it, and there's some ways to bring a planet back even if it's gone over the edge. But still, then you lose the time. And since we're trying to save time, you don't want to go over the edge. And so Earth is kind of like a unique extreme. And it's kind of interesting we're all here because we chose to be here as human souls. But nonetheless, the souls that are working their way up are doing so by understanding the larger concepts that are slightly above them, beyond them. And they move up as they understand these concepts and are able to apply them so that the life forms that they are helping to develop are an expression of God. Now, the expression in some ways is are things that we may not find to be all that delightful, but in most circumstances, they actually are things that we would say, wow, look at that. Suddenly there's more oxygen. Suddenly there's more color. There's more light. There's more interesting elements to nature that looks and feels and gives us a sense of being beautiful and sublime. These conditions are what we are seeking if we are souls. And these conditions come together in an interchange of one life form to the next to produce the greatest results, the greatest measures, the things that wow us every time we explore nature, whether it be today or a billion years ago. It's so amazing that we are capable of appreciating this and being able to recognize it because we have a human soul, and all human souls can do that, whereas the souls below that of human can see it only in part for their particular part of the plan that they are working within and the concepts that they can recognize within it. Well, I'm going to come back to this and talk a lot more and get you hopefully more interested, I would say, as we go further into this. We'll be back in about 2.5 minutes, and when we do come back, I will continue on.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. MacFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
We're back. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And we're going to continue on now with understanding how souls exist in another realm called the higher mental world. And in that realm, they have their own life. And if you're a group soul, which is what we have been talking about, your life is somewhat limited because you're dealing with a group that's true of, could be flowers or could be anything, any kind of life. But it is still limited because you don't know the whole plan. You can't see all the elements of how life are coming together. Because from your perspective, as a soul, a group soul, in the higher mental world, you're in a place called the third subplane, but the spiritual part of the third subplane. I know I got too technical. I know I'm going to lose people with all this. But you could go to, you know, Life's in Meaning. There's all kinds of charts and examples. We'll explain that if you want to. And some of you might already have been doing that. But the point is that it is the concept that the group souls are more limited because they're in a lower sub-plane of this huge plane, which has more dimensions than we have here by far. And they can perceive some of the plan, and they know some of what they're doing, how it affects other souls like themselves or similar to themselves, and also souls that are lower in consciousness than themselves, if there are some. But they can't really grasp much of the plan of souls that are higher in consciousness than themselves. And they have to work their way up in concepts to understand the plan. And as they do, the soul develops itself into a higher level soul that can inform life forms that are more advanced, such as, let's say, in one case, use an example here, a soul might be able to inform some moss that is growing, you know, on the side of trees or rocks. And that particular moss obviously is contributing to life, and it does a lot of things, but eventually that soul may develop itself to be able to inform, let's say, some type of conifer tree, and maybe a redwood. And now the life form that it is involved with in helping it grow has moss on it, but does so much more because it has bacteria in its roots system, and it has, pine cones, and it has all kinds of other types of systems within it. It's a much more complex life form that is affecting so many other life forms because it has itself developed itself, the soul has, to understand these greater concepts of how life is interconnected at these higher levels. And so it's working with other souls in incomparable fashion. And you can see how that becomes more interesting and more creative. And as it becomes more creative, then the soul is more co-creative with its own creator or God. It's amazing. And this is fascinating. You might say, well, where is the end to all this? Well, the end is that eventually you get into the animal kingdom and you develop all kinds of animals, some of them lower life form animals. But eventually you get into the mammals, which are higher life form animals. And the souls that deal with mammals in comparison to non-mammals generally have more, we'll call it, astral consciousness, the ability to evoke and to understand love and to be able to be empathic towards other creatures of similar type, maybe not really distant types of life forms, but anything that's similar to itself. So a dog might be empathic to a cat. A cat might be empathic to an ape or a monkey. So we have this type of ability for cross-empathy. And that's a big factor. And when the souls are doing that, they are sharing bigger concepts about love. And that's one of the things that happens as the souls develop themselves up this monastic or mental plane concept level. They are understanding the elements of what it makes them into a greater being, one in which they can start living more fully in God's beingness themselves. And certainly, if we are empathic, we are able to do that. There are some humans that have a lack of empathy, and they are functioning more like mid-range group souls than they are as human beings. They're functioning even lower than some animals, in a sense. Most interesting when we consider how far advanced a human being is, but some people choose to not live that way. Okay. So, this process continues. It's almost like a very, very large ladder that souls can climb themselves up in. Can they skip a rung or two? Yes. Some souls become so good at where they're at, they can glean and they can get some understanding of the next couple of rungs and kind of develop those concepts in themselves while they're still in the lower rung. And when they finally advance themselves because they've done such a fantastic job with the life forms they're working with, that they actually jump a few rungs and are able to move up faster. Other souls have to be more methodical and do it rung by rung. It really is up to the soul itself and how well it does. There's also some element of interconnectivity and symbiosis. And so what happens is, in some circumstances, a soul may actually not be able to advance itself because it's somewhat sacrificial and it has chosen to work with other souls that may hamper it in some way. So it's going to go more slowly than others at its level of development in concepts. Concepts are the big thing here. Concepts are really the measurement of a soul's overall development. And as souls develop, they take on the ability to inform life forms that may be somewhat dissimilar from each other, but they're gaining more and more sense development from, more information from. This may surprise you, they may inform life forms at one point that are prey for animals or whatever life form they're dealing with, that then becomes the predator. So we shouldn't consider that one type of life form is where they're locked into, just the opposite. They can be on both sides of the equation and move back and forth between these. They gain an understanding for how life interplays and how the forces of nature, in evolutionary sense, are used as a tool, but not actually are the plan. They're just used as a tool within a greater plan. Okay. So if we look at this entire process, souls are becoming more and more creative. Each group soul is developing a higher level of creativity as it raises itself. Throughout the third, some people call it the third plane, third subplane, excuse me, third subplane of the mental plane. And as they're doing this, and this is only on the spiritual part that they can exist, they are becoming a higher creative being, while at the same time they are moving towards an entirely new kind of soul that is somewhat more advanced than any kind of soul that we are familiar with. Because what they're becoming eventually is they're going to become a soul for a human being. And the difference, the main difference between a human being soul and the soul when it was younger, we'll say, it was a group soul, is that a human being soul informs only one being at a time. Let me say that again. A human soul informs only one being at a time, and that's us. It incarnates a single human being at a time. Some people don't know that. Some people say, well, why can't human souls have 20 different people that are informing? Well, the reason they can't is because they imbue upon that human being a uniqueness in capability, which is the capability of, if the human so chooses, to be cognizant of its own creator all the time that it exists. It's capable of doing it. It doesn't mean it chooses to, but it's very capable, and the human soul is capable of doing that itself, that it is cognizant of any part of the plan that it applies itself to, that it seeks to further advance through its incarnates. And when I say incarnates, I'm talking about over time. There's only one incarnate at a time, but there could be many incarnates over time. And so this is how a human soul is functioning, very different from the group soul. The group soul is living within an environment in which it is capable of only sensing concepts that glean to itself in a creative fashion part of the plan at a time. And it's stuck within that part of the plan for a long time, maybe millions of years. Whereas a human soul can reveal any part of the plan to itself, dependent upon how successful its incarnates are in creating virtue within the lower world. So there's this response and reaction that is going on between the human soul and its incarnate. And you might say, well, can't human souls get information from other souls? And can't they share concepts? And therefore, why do they really need to have incarnates going into doing things, etc.? And the answer to this is very interesting. Information does not allow necessarily co-creation. As a matter of fact, it doesn't necessarily involve creation at all. In order to co-create, you have to be able to both contribute and be informed. So the answer to the question that I just posed to myself is really that human souls can become greater informed from other human souls. They can become greater informed even from group souls to some extent. But what they cannot do is they can't co-create. They can't co-create at their own level or in the lower three worlds level without having to incarnate and contribute new information from their own development, their own sources of the incarnates themselves. So the human soul starts to fall behind in this process if it has incarnates that refuse to participate in understanding and developing concepts about the Creator and co-creating in the realms that it exists within, which is the physical one we're living in now, the astral after our death from this world, and the lower mental after that. So the penalty that each human soul pays is that as a human being is developing itself, and going through the three stages of incarnation, eventually leading itself back to its own human soul and reforming with the human soul. The human soul pays a huge penalty in its ability to become co-creative at its own level when its incarnate is intransient and refuses to do the same and refuses to become a understander and creator of more of virtue in its own realm. And this is a penalty. This is a great cost. Eventually the soul can fall so far behind that it has to leave the very world that it exists in. And even though the soul itself is totally benevolent and loving and wants to contribute, it is dependent upon this relationship. And the karma gets in the way because as humans create more and more negativity because of the harsh things they can do, the human soul can't create very good incarnates in the next several lifetimes or more. And eventually the senses of the humans are significantly reduced. And the losses in the ability to create virtue are so great that the human soul cannot become a co-creator to the level that it needs to in order to contribute with other souls at its own level of functioning. And it isn't as helpful in developing humans in the future as well. And it can actually fall behind the level that's needed to stay in the world that it is living in. Interesting. Really interesting problem. We're not going to have enough time to go into all of that tonight, but I want to touch on that to get people kind of thinking about this, because this is a really complicated question, and it's asked of me sometimes. Why are human souls, if they're so great, so hampered by the way that humans function, their incarnates function? Can't they just say, well, so what? Who cares about those incarnates? I'll just function as a soul and do what I want to do where I exist, and then how come they can fall behind? How come they have problems, etc.? It's because information is not co-creation. In order to co-create, you have to have more than just information that is given from, we'll say, knowledge. It has to come from experience and also from actual creation itself. The act of creating is a change in one's beingness. So when humans create more of their creator, when we are virtuous, we are changing our beingness. We are changing what and who we are. We aren't just changing what we know. And knowledge is considerably different from this act of beingness that I'm referring to. And if this doesn't make sense, then let me try giving an example that might be of some assistance, because I think this is a concept that's a little bit difficult for some people to understand. Let's say that we were to read a book, and in the book, it told us all of the good things that we could be doing in our life. We read about it, and we say, oh, isn't that wonderful? I could be doing this, I could be doing that. I could be doing even more tomorrow and more the next day. And it's just a list. It's a list of all the things that we should do, we can do, we might do, we would be doing if we followed the list, right? We read the book and we say, well, now I have the knowledge. But has that changed who or what we are? Let's say that we now split ourselves into two different people. One person says, okay, you know what? I'm going to do what is necessary to change me so I can do these things, which are the knowledge parts, and co-create my creator. And then the second part of us says, you know what? Forget that. I now have the knowledge, and that's all I cared about anyway, and I don't want to change. I don't want to go through all the spiritual discipline and all this other stuff that's required. Forget it. I'm just going to say, I'll pretend like I am that person, but I'm not going to be that person, and I'm not going to go ahead and create anything. At the end of the process, the two people will be incredibly different people. The person that went ahead and chose to actually create themselves and co-create life in the form of their creator will be a totally different being, totally, than the person who sat around and said, well, I have the knowledge, but I'm not going to change myself because that's a lot of problems and difficulties and sacrifices I'm not willing to do it. You know, I like things the way they are, and I'm comfortable, and that's it. Those two beings are going to be totally different beings. And when they go back to being their soul, and as they go back to being their soul, through their astral life and their lower mental life, their soul is going to be dramatically different from one to the other conditions in the way that soul understands the lower, which we call consciousness, has consciousness or understanding of the lower worlds that they're incarnate live through. Does that help? I hope so. Because that's the problem between the knowledge side and consciousness side of existence. Consciousness really comes from giving and from interaction and co-creation, whereas knowledge is just sort of, like, give me the information, that's all I need, I'll work with the information and create with it in my mind a concept about it, but that concept is missing the spiritual part. We then have what is known as incomplete knowledge that only has the non-spiritual connections to make the spiritual concepts, which is where souls actually exist. It has to be done. It has to be activity. It has to be through actions that the knowledge is applied. And it has to be co-created within our own beingness as part of us and then part of our soul in order for it to truly make us a greater part of our own God. Very interesting. I hope this is helping some of us to understand the difference. Next week I'm going to go into this a lot more because we're going to go deeper into what a human soul is. I'll explain a lot more in greater intricacy the life of a human soul. And I think that with this understanding I just went into, it will be better understood. Now let me make a couple of announcements and mentions here. First of all, I want to let all of you know out there, some of you know that I have a show, have had a show on for about a year or longer, on a radio station that is 1170 AM. It's a broadcast station in the Boston area. But it gets all over. It goes to Norfolk, Massachusetts, Providence, Rhode Island, that sort of stuff. And also, it's been on the Internet at WDISAM.com. Well, the good news is that show has been pre-recorded shows that I've done in earlier times. The good news is that Wildlife is going live on that station. So starting a week from this Sunday, which I think is the 8th or 9th of November, sometime in that time zone, you'll be able to call in and talk to me on the air, just the way you could hear. Whether you are listening on the Internet or if you're in that particular part of the country and listening to the broadcast. So that's starting in a little over a week, and I hope you're going to tune in and listen to that. It's going to be on Sundays, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and if you have a chance, listen in. Please do, and also call in. I'll be there. And for this Sunday, the Spiritual Initiation Part 2 is the show that's going to be played. Now, again, we're going live, so I may be changing the subject. I hope I'm not going to upset too many people about that the following Sunday. But for this week, it's Spiritual Initiation Part 2. And also want to mention that for those of you who are in the Phoenix metropolitan area, on November 3rd, which is this coming Monday, you can hear Mimi talk at Glendale Borders Books and Music. It's off of Bell Road in Glendale. On the topic of astral glamours from 7 p.m. to 8:15 p.m. No charge, of course. Just go there and join in because she has talks dealing with the subject area I just told you about, and she's there every month. Okay, so hopefully this has been a interesting and hopefully a complete enough show on this subject, and We'll revisit this and talk more about human souls next week on Why Life Is, and this has been Niles McFlower.